The WEDO Greater Pittsburgh Area weather, partly cloudy and mild today with highs expected in the low 60s. Variable cloudiness and cool tonight and Monday with a chance of showers. Low tonight in the low 40s, Monday's high in the mid-50s. Currently in Pittsburgh, 57 degrees.
Name is the name. Don Namer, Democratic candidate for state senator for the 45th district. The Democratic Party still belongs to the people. As your senator, you'll know Namer, but more important, Namer will know you. This time, you have a choice. Let Don Namer be your choice.
The preceding political announcement was paid for by the candidate. This is WEDO and McKee Sport, CBS Radio, serving the greater Pittsburgh area. Time now is 10:30.
Sunday, April the 23rd, Richard, and we're thinking now in terms of 1952, which was the seventh year of this program. That was the year when the first jetliner passenger service opened on May the 2nd, the British de Havilland Comet, from London to Johannesburg, South Africa, 6,724 miles in less than 24 hours in those days.
That's quite something, huh?
Yes, and you know, we forget very easily, but it was some of those Comet people, the pilots, the crew, the passengers, that taught us about pressurization. Remember, if you will, we lost one or two of those Comets inexplicably at the time. Nobody knew what happened. They blew up, and they discovered that it was the pressurization. And they went down and picked up all the pieces of the airplane from the bottom of the sea and put them together and figured out what had happened.
Mm.
And in that way, we are... And that is one of the things that's responsible for us being able to fly at any altitude today without this fear. That's the whole history of aviation, you know. A lot of good guys went out and tried and had the temerity to fly the test.
And in the aviation circles, are they still remembered?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes. We know them. Old-timers do, yes. Mm-hmm. Sure. And speaking of old-timers, back in 1952, a gal named Jeanette Davis and I used to work together here quite a bit. And one of the things we did together was this. I wandered today to the hill, Maggie, to watch the scene below. The creek, the creaking old mill, Maggie, just as we used to do long ago. Well, the green grove is gone from the hill, Maggie, where first the daisies sprung. But I love you the same as of old.
Take a favorite, and then you flavor it with just a note or two of blue harmony. Tell the orchestra to play a staccato, and then you jazz a little obbligato. Now the Maggie tune is just a raggy tune. Pay no attention to the music that they play, but just rock all your blues away. I want take a favor
today,
and then you flavor it with just a note or two of blue harmony. Tell the orchestra to play a staccato. And then you jazz a middle of legato. Now the Maggie tune, just a raggy tune. Pay no attention to the music that they play, but just
play you and
all your blues away. On the spot, start to sway, dead and hot now.
The green grove is gone.
It's just a spoke in time. And all around I see harmony, charmony. Every loving note is a loving voice. Just full of music that you can't refuse.
Oh, but I love you.
Now you know the way.
Same.
So tell the band to play. And when you listen, just
bang.
Ring a bit and say, I got those. When you and I were young, Maggie Blue. Those Maggie Blue.
Ah. Used to have a lot of fun with that gal. She was so much fun.
I remember
great,
meeting...
big, long, beautiful red hair.
Mm-hmm. I remember meeting her the time I won the Talent Scout show. And then, you know, whoever the winner was always invited a week on your morning show.
Mm-hmm.
And I met her that time.
Did you ever sing a duet with her?
She
was more fun. She was a lot of fun to work with. Let's see, 1952. What else went on in that year? Puerto Rico became an associated free state or commonwealth of the U.S. July the 25th, President Truman gave approval to a new constitution in 1952 to Puerto Rico. Pal Joey was a big success in 52, Dick.
Hmm.
Generally, the theater season was one of the worst on record, though, they say. 52, Pal Joey, that was a good one.
Yeah,
bewildered, bewitched, and be something.
Right. Bewitched, bothered, and bewildered. That came from that.
Yeah.
Gene Kelly became a star from that show.
Seems like the gals were wearing poncho pants those days. I don't remember that.
Poncho pants? Or gaucho pants?
It says poncho.
Oh. I thought a poncho has got a hole in the middle and you stick it over your head.
Well, that's what they did with them, I guess.
I'd remember if they did.
Harem skirts, harem properly, but harem, all right. Harem skirts were very popular that year, too, they say. I don't remember that. I can't remember when the mini skirts went around, and I'm so happy they're still here.
Mm-hmm. And they're getting better, you know, with the weather changing. It's a pleasure to stand outside.
Did you notice?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we had a 79-degree day here the other day in New York. And the miniskirts were out in full bloom.
Hmm.
The flowers hadn't started yet, but the miniskirts.
I tell you, I had to come up to the studio. My heart couldn't take it anymore. I'm getting old.
Go on, you're half my age, and I was loving it, man. Hey, we have a nice letter from Withers Gavin. Withers Gavin, who is president and manager of WCOC in Meridian, Mississippi, who says, we sure are sorry down here that you're going off the air. Radio won't be the same. WCOC Radio joined the CBS Radio Network Sunday, May the 2nd, 1937. And since that date, we have carried every one of your programs live straight from the network. We have considered them the high point of our daily schedules. Well, WCOC Radio, 5,000 watts, 910 kilocycles, right in the smack in the middle of the dial, went on the air on the 26th of February in 1926. I've been since 1929 president and manager.
Hey, he holds on, doesn't he?
He can't hold a job. Just like me. Huh?
Yeah.
Our long association with CBS Radio since 1937 has been a very pleasant one indeed. Yes, yeah, so is mine. I've been with him a little longer than that. I joined CBS in 1934. Says, thanks for everything and best wishes. Well, now that's nice. From Withers Gavin. Withers Gavin. Now, there's an unusual name. You're never going to forget that, Withers Gavin, huh?
Mm-mm.
Now, how in the world would you name a man after a horse's withers?
Withers. Well, that, you know, remember Jane Withers from the movies?
Yeah.
The movie last name.
Yes. And there was a great opera coach, a voice coach for the Metropolitan Opera for years. His name was Witherspoon.
Hmm.
We have some nice mail from Pennsylvania, New Cumberland, Pennsylvania. Thought you'd like to know that the ice cream produced by the Hershey Creamery Company, South Cameron Street, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, has nothing whatsoever to do with Hershey Foods Corporation of Hershey, PA. Yes, dear, I found that out. The Hershey Creamery Company produces ice cream of very good quality and ships its products over a 13-state area from Massachusetts to Virginia and West Virginia and the East Coast. Yes, we get it down home. And it has nothing to do with Hershey Foods Corporation of Hershey, Pennsylvania. F. Revere Ployer. Thank you, F. Revere. We're always happy to have these little bits of information, although I knew that one. And music. Music for 1952, Richard. What do you have?
A couple of pretty ballads.
Got some habits even I can't explain. Start for the corner, turn up in Spain. Why try to change me now? I sit and daydream. I've got daydreams galore. Cigarette ashes, there they go on the floor. Go away for the weekend. Leave my keys in the door. Why try to change me now? Why can't I be more conventional? People talk, people stare, so I try. Not for me, 'cause I can't see my kind of crazy world go passing me by. So let people wonder, let them laugh, let them frown. You know I love you till the moon's upside down. Don't you remember I was always your clown? Why try to change me now? Don't try to change me now.
Huh? Don't remember that song.
An old Frank Sinatra record. You know, the funny thing is, we've gone going backwards through the years, and how many good songs this guy is responsible for bringing to the public's attention. Talking about Sinatra.
How many he brought to the public's attention?
Yeah, I mean, by recording them or performing them.
Gosh.
Had good taste in music.
Always the greatest, yes. He and Gene Austin and Bing Crosby probably sold more records than all the rest of them put together.
Hmm. And that's when the record industry was in its infancy. Really, nowadays, it's such a mammoth kind of a business that lots of people sell a million records once or twice, you know, but not with any consistency.
And they don't keep playing those records very long either. In the current issue of Life magazine, they're running some things 20 years ago. And we're talking about 20 years ago now, the year's 1952. And 20 years ago, life showed the funeral of Britain's King George VI. In a time of grim austerity, the British marked with rich pageantry the passing of the man who had been their king during the black days of the war. One picture became a classic. It shows three noble ladies in mourning. Let's see. It's right here, I think. Ah, yes, yes. The George's daughter, the new Queen Elizabeth II, and on the right, his widow, the Queen Mother Elizabeth, and in the center, his mother, Queen Mary. Way, way back there, 20 years ago, George VI. I remember when he and the present Queen Mother Elizabeth came over here. And one of the saddest things of my life, I had a little bit of an 8-millimeter movie camera with a telescopic lens. And from my office in the Earle Theater Building in Washington, D.C., as the parade went up Pennsylvania Avenue, I was able to get some beautiful shots.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew they were beautiful. Of the king and the queen and the president together. And in an open car, you know. And I sent them away to Kodak to be processed and sent back to me and never saw them again.
Never came back?
No.
Hmm.
Somebody lifted them.
Got a good souvenir.
Oh, it would have been a beautiful thing. It was a... I got many, many good pictures with that. It was a Filmo, wasn't it? It wasn't a Filmo camera. Little bit of a brown thing.
Hmm.
Took a little bitty pack of film. An 8-millimeter thing, yeah. I took a great many movies with it.
But not that, huh?
Yeah, I took that, but I never saw it again. It's the only one that never came back. I can't believe that anybody at Kodak would take it, can you?
Well, if they hear now, would they please send it back?
It would be nice to have it back now. It'd be a priceless thing, though.
Ever since Eastman left them, you know, they just haven't been the same company.
Eastman was with them then.
Oh, maybe he
maybe
got
he
it.
Got them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could be. Somebody sent me a card in the mail in July of 1952, and Wilma found it in the files. It was a card from Bridgeport, Connecticut. Joan and Lee. And it said, "Father earns it, students burn it, mother lends it, co-eds spend it, forgers fake it, taxes take it, misers crave it, robbers seize it, rich increase it, gamblers lose it, I could use it."
And that hasn't changed at all, has it?
It's the same as it was then. And I feel much better now, really, because I've been getting so many beautiful letters from people saying this, how sorry they are to see us go off this show after 27 years and so forth. Then I got one from St. Louis. St. Louis, Missouri, KMOX, Bob Hyland Station, is where we have enjoyed the largest percentage of of radio audience since the very beginning. KMOX, you know, is the biggest radio station in the world in terms of the audience it commands all day. And Bob Hyland has often very kindly said that he has patterned his programs for the day around our show. And he reaches everybody there, even a fellow like Edgar Meinhardt, Jr., who I found out is president of the St. Louis Carnival Supply Company. Been in business 40 years. He's a big man in the KCs, too. St. Louis Knights of Columbus chairman. Past state secretary of Missouri KCs. Missouri KC representative to Missouri Association of Independent Schools. He's a member of St. Vincent's Orphan Home Society and a member of the Southside Lions Club. Big man. And he took the time to sit down and dictate to somebody whose initials are E.S., who is an excellent typist. A very neat letter. It says, "Dear Mr. Godfrey, after having dialed across you for more than 25 years, my suspicions were confirmed this morning when I heard you put out that adolescent-oriented dribble on ecology. It is the boobs like you who have turned a serious problem into an emotional money-making appeal largely to the immature. My opinion over the years has been that you are an over-emotional, undereducated, overpaid, over-opinionated, without a justifiable background ass who just happens to have a likable streak that brings him on strong with shallow people." Now, there are not many asses around with a likable streak, you know. "Although there may be some justification for your wailing about ecology, and you may have some background in this matter, just consider how many times you have spewed your drivel onto a lot of unsuspecting old ladies and the immature without the slightest background in another subject. Name almost anything. You'll know all about it from one article or study of the subject for no more than 10 minutes. Baloney is baloney, no matter how old the waiter who serves it or under what name. Truly yours, Edgar W. Meinhardt. P.S. And I bet you read the funnies every night or you can't sleep. How phony, parentheses, or funny can you get?" You know, that was nice of him. The business is probably slack in the carnival supply business. And he's sitting around doing nothing that day. So he got in the stenographer and said, "Take a letter." And she took it.
I hate a letter like that. The guys that beat around the bush.
Yeah. Fools around, you know. It doesn't say, you know. What do you get out of a thing like that?
Huh?
I don't quite understand. Underpaid, overpaid, over-emotional, under-educated, over-opinionated, without a justifiable background.
Mm-hmm.
Ass yet. I got to frame this one and keep it, didn't you? It's probably the nearest this guy will ever come to immortality. And I think we'll keep it. But I wanted you all to share those lovely sentiments.
And they are endearing, yes.
Yeah. It's kind of a nice souvenir to take away.
You know, there's always a certain amount of baloney in our business, but what is the carnival business made up of?
Fish.
It's really hokum.
Tinsel, just like us.
Tinsel and Sham.
Yeah, that's pretty close.
I remember them. They were vaudeville acts.
Well, it's okay. He had it on his chest and he wanted to get it off. He's obviously an educated man, so is his stenographer. And it's probably been burning him for 25 years as he's listened every day, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He listened every day and just gets madder and madder. Do you ever do that? You see people on the TV you hate, but you look at them every day and lot of, just so you can get up another hate.
Yeah.
You tune in every morning, you know, son of a gun, look at that.
I've been watching him for 10 years. He hasn't gotten better once.
He stinks to high heaven. I don't know how he stays on there. Yeah, that's the way.
Mm-hmm.
And he finally got it out of his system. Well, Mr. Meinhardt, I want to thank you for going to all that trouble to write that beautiful epistle. And now I shall... I shall file it where it will never again see the light of day. Now, we're going to play a tune especially for Edgar W. He has always said, "Some of these days I'm going to get that guy." So we'll do it for him. We'll start off with a duet first with the banjo and my instructor, who's been trying to teach me to play these things for 27 years, while Meinhardt has been sitting there sweating it out.
Thank you.
one more time?
Through Friday on the CBS Radio Network.